Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. This weekend, we get to go to Croatia, which is exciting, but before we get there...
Yeah, that's the big story, Croatia. It's been a slow week. Let's get to Croatia. Oh, boy.
All right, you didn't even let me finish.
Okay.
But before that, we have to talk about the insanity that has ensued this week that starts with one Jon Jones and one Daniel Cormier and boils down to one Miesha Tate and one Holly Holm.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere in the middle has Nurmagomedov fighting a guy they just found on the street.
See, I thought we were really close to a Nurmagomedov title fight finally. And then who did he end up with? I didn't see the latest.
I'll pull it up here. But
we can do that in minutes, too, if you'd like.
I mean, I'll pull it up while we're talking about Jon Jones. But the guy he's fighting, it's his UFC debut against Nurmagomedov.
Okay, well, fair enough. That's going to go well.
Right.
Guy literally wrestled. Is that a bear?
It is not the bear. The bear was busy.
The bear was booked?
Yes, the bear was booked.
Against Rumble Johnson, apparently?
He's fighting Daniel Horscher at UFC on Fox.
All right. We'll do that, I guess.
Yeah.
So
okay. There's that.
Fair enough. So we got to talk about Jon Jones. Usually when Jon Jones craziness happens, it's Jon Jones instigated craziness. And this week, that actually wasn't the case.
That was not the case at all. In fact, Daniel Cormier is out with this injury that has been nagging him that has something to do with his shin. And he, you know, there was the rumors that we were getting actually tweets when we were doing 2 weeks ago's show that Daniel Cormier was at a wrestling event and he couldn't walk and he was hobbling around. And everybody in the community was like, he can't be dumb enough to actually be injured and hobbling around. That has to be an act. Turns out it was not an act. He's actually injured and out of UFC 197. Mm-hmm. So what do they do? Well, there was a number of things they could have done. The most of which that I was excited for, because I think this would have been very fun, hyper dangerous, but really fun, was that Mark Hunt was stepping up and wanted to fight Jon Jones at heavyweight.
I didn't hear that. We don't need that, but okay, fine.
I love that. But fine. Here's the thing. For everyone who is wondering about the move to heavyweight, they are in a position where I think they're nervous about that because they see what's happening with crazy-ass Conor McGregor,
mm-hmm.
and they can't drag him back down to do his actual job because he's too busy fighting whatever he wants.
Well, he's mad now because he took a loss, and as much as he gave credit to Nate Diaz in that loss, he wants to get that back.
But what if he doesn't?
He's one of those top draw guys.
What if he doesn't?
And Jon Jones is another dude that could basically keep holding the UFC a little bit hostage while he tries to get a fight back because Mark Hunt knocked him into New Zealand.
Yes, and so that is kind of where that came. He's not moving up to heavyweight because they need him down there. So they tempted him by bringing him down there with an interim belt, which I'm guessing you and I have not talked this week.
I didn't know anything about this interim belt.
So I'm guessing you'd be not into this, given the fact that you thought he should have a tune-up fight. And I thought prior to the interim belt being layered on top of this, Jon Jones and the step-in opponent, Ovin St. Preux, OSP, yo, I thought that was... fit the bill for what you've been calling for 3 weeks. A tune-up fight, you know, a quote-unquote penalty fight. You've got to do this fight before you get the thing that you want. I think in the end that would have worked out for everybody, but now it is an interim belt between Jon Jones and Ovin St. Preux.
Wait. I heard nothing about the interim belt. When did that happen?
Literally like 8 minutes after Ovin was mentioned, somebody on Twitter was like, oh, by the way, it's an interim belt.
Are they keeping that quiet? Is that a thing that's...
Oh, by the way, there's another interim
because that belt. Seems ridiculous that we've got an interim belt with one injury, essentially, for the champ. I guess we've got an interim belt for the champ that's not even injured at 200. So I don't even know what we're doing anymore. You know what they're going to do? They're going to just borrow all those belts that those guys were holding next to Triple H when he came in at WrestleMania.
Yes.
He had 14 dudes with belts.
He did.
Those are probably all borrowed from the UFC because they've got interim belts laying around all over the place now.
Belts I did not on belts know on belts, yes. So.
I had no idea this was for an interim belt.
So when your interim champion, Ovin St. Preux, gets to take on Daniel Cormier... No, you're not even gonna buy
I'm
it.
Not. I'm, well, there's a couple of things that are really interesting about this whole deal.
Okay.
And One of those is kind of like a couple of folks on Twitter tried to lay out the reasons this fight had to happen, because I know you're really excited about OSP.
And let me pause for a second. I'm really excited for all of the wrong reasons. I know that. So I'm not gonna try and convince you. I'm not gonna try and convince anyone. I am a fan for all of the wrong reasons. I've loved Ovince St. Preux since Strikeforce, so I'm fanboying, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
That said, go ahead.
Well, what I saw a lot of people do is want the fight to be changed to John Jones, Anthony Johnson.
Yes.
And we had talked about this last week on the podcast. Anthony Johnson's camp had said, hey, Anthony's ready if John Jones goes insane, if he drives into another pole, if he gets, you know, a little too much blow in him and he just can't make the fight. So everybody was like, oh, well, Anthony Johnson's ready for a fight. There's your fight right there. And you'd have 1 and 2 in the division fighting each other. Now, technically, Anthony Johnson is not medically cleared. I don't think that would be a hurdle, though, for the fight, for when it's going to happen in a couple of weeks. I think his medical suspension was one of those default ones. I'd have to go look it up for sure. The interesting thing is Anthony Johnson's manager, the day this all went down, tweeted out that he was going to face John Jones.
So did John Jones, actually.
And yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That was John Jones' manager. Excuse me. John Jones' manager tweeted out that he was going to take on Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Correct.
So that was seemed like the fight. And I think a lot of people got excited about that fight. And this is an instance where, okay, cool, we're going to see 1 and 2 fight. For me, I like that fight simply because, okay, John Jones, you didn't get to walk back into a title fight. I don't think you should have been able to if you were actually suspended and stripped. I just don't think that's the case. So there were a lot of things about this fight that I still thought were really good. I still think you can sell a pay-per-view with John Jones and Rumble Johnson. I don't think that pay-per-view sells as well with OSP.
I'm totally with you, but Rumble had mouth surgery, I guess.
Is that what he did?
And he can't even put a mouthpiece in for 3 weeks, so he cannot be ready. So I don't really know what happened between last week and
wait on surgery, though? Because he didn't.
I don't know.
In January. Like, I'm wondering, why is he saying he's ready if he's going to have some surgery or just had surgery?
I don't know if he said he was ready and then forgot he had an orthodontic appointment. I don't know.
Because most of the time, NFL guys, baseball guys, any injuries that you see with an athlete, especially NFL, those dudes are in an MRI machine usually at the stadium, and I know that's not always the case for UFC guys.
Sure.
But they're in an MRI machine and their surgery's the next morning because they got to be ready as quickly as possible. I don't know what was going on with Anthony Johnson, but if this was something that lingered and he waited to take care of, he missed a huge opportunity here. He missed an opportunity to headline the pay-per-view against John Jones, because I think that's where every single bit of momentum was leading as soon as we knew DC was out of the fight. As soon as DC's out, well, Rumble's number two. Rumble's one of the few guys you look at. Doesn't have a dance partner here. Hasn't taken a bad loss here. He's got a couple of wins. Of course, yeah, he lost against Daniel Cormier, but he came back from that. So that was the guy. Okay, this is going to be the fight. This is what's going to sell the pay-per-view. And then, you know, we end up with OSP. Good fighter. Good fighter. I mean, I think he was top five still, right, in
the
division?
Yeah, 6, I believe, at the time.
Yeah, so, I mean, You kind of go from, okay, cool, John Jones fighting a legit contender. And again, I'm not saying OSP isn't legit, but I mean a contender for the championship. You wouldn't necessarily put him in that conversation yet. To this is going to be a John Jones feature fight, which is still really interesting. But if this is really for an interim belt, that surprises me.
Well, and what would have been interesting about the Rumble fight is I know like Julian Garcia, who's been on the program here a couple times, has been, and many other people, I think Ryan Dempsey, who's a big fan of the show, have been pining to see this fight, Rumble and John Jones, just mm-hmm. because it seemed like the one that has the most interesting X factors in it, right?
Right. Like, now that we've seen Jones DC, that fight, even though he lost to DC, that fight still has a lot of interest because of the possibilities. Like, yeah, I know DC kind of just ragged him around. Can John do that? We know John's a strong dude, but Rumble, does he have that kryptonite? We don't know, and we're wondering still. And this would have been a pay-per-view level fight. I don't think we necessarily have that
No,
at this point. It's going to be a good fight, and everybody's going to tune in to see John Jones, see what he looks like. A bit of a dangerous fight for John Jones at this point.
Well,
John loses to the number two guy or the champion, first fight back after a year and 4 months, whatever it is. Wow, okay, a little shines off him, but we saw with Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is going to headline and sell another pay-per-view and be fine. This one, though, this would have been interesting because this would have started a lot of that discussion. The same thing that happened after Anderson Silva lost, and he was out a long time, came back and lost again. We'd go, okay, John's time away. Was that too much? Did he lose what he needed to have in this fight? Those questions get a lot louder against number six rather than number one or number two.
And when you look in comparison to, let's say, look, I know that John didn't really train for Gustafson, and that was one of the knocks in John Jones in his party days, that he just didn't take the stuff seriously, a la Mike Tyson, right? And he just barely eked out that win against Gustafson. However, you have seen Gustafson able to step up for these bigger fights that he hasn't been able to do in his, we'll call it, his real life fights, right?
Sure.
If Ovince St. Preux can step up and there's any doubt in John Jones' mind about how tough Ovince St. Preux could be, you could see something very similar. That said, Ovince's chances are all on the feet. If this goes to the ground, this is over.
Oh, for sure.
It's absolutely over.
For sure. I mean, it's going to be an interesting fight to see what John Jones looks like at this point. That's kind of what we're doing at this point.
Is your sense 1 minute and this is done? Because that's sort of my sense.
I don't know. I'm really curious to see what John Jones looks like. I told you, I've been one of those guys banging on that drum about this time off, wondering how this is going to affect him. And not only is it the time off, but I mean, we saw a couple weeks ago, his behavior hasn't really changed. He's out in the middle of the night doing God knows what, getting into arguments with cops. Okay, you're not telling me you've reset and you're now focused. So I don't know what you've been doing the whole time you've been off. Have you been doing what you were supposed to do? Have you been working in sessions of where you mock up your camps and do those things that a lot of fighters do? I don't know. Do you think you're that good that you don't have to? We'll have to find out during this fight.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I'm super excited about this, but I understand the realities of the situation. And I think if everything was equal and John Jones has been active and this were to happen, I really do think this is like 60 or 90 seconds and this thing is over. However, there might be something to this, Ken, where he wants to spread his wings a little bit and get the ring rust off and play around and do some of the stuff that he
but
has
like
been.
You said, playing around can be dangerous against a guy like OSP.
I'm with you. I just don't know that he might not just run across the octagon and crack OSP and knock him out. That just might not be what he does.
Yeah, and you know, and this card also has what are we talking about? The featherweight? Featherweights?
Flyweights. Demetrius Johnson fight?
Yeah, I'm actually a little interested in that with the Henry Cejudo. So, I mean, this will be a fun little card to watch. It took a big hit, obviously, with DC. It seemed like they could almost have an equal card with Rumble Johnson, and
sure,
that sucks that he couldn't be there because that's one of the options where you just got to wonder, dude, were you just talking to talk? All this stuff coming out of your camp?
Yeah, just running your mouth just to be part of the conversation?
Right, exactly, which I guess isn't the most terrible thing in the world, but you kind of got called out on it here. Like, oh, hey, you want the fight? Oh, no.
Oh, sorry about
that. I forgot.
That.
I'm not medically cleared. So, okay.
Moppy.
Mouth surgery. You've been running it. Maybe that's what it is. It's fatigued. He strained it. Running his mouth. Got to get a little ice on there.
Yes, he
what
does.
I'm saying.
So, yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, this just seems ridiculous, and I know that we've got an interim belt for a guy who's not actually injured. So I guess we have to reclassify and find the new paradigm here. But this does seem ridiculous. Champs out one fight. You've got an interim belt between the number one and the number six guy. I feel like you need to at least stay top five if you want to like just start handing belts out. John's going to bring his belt anyways. You don't need to give him a belt. He's
right.
Walking around
He's
with
just,
that belt
yes.
that he never lost. You don't need to stack because you're going to have John running around. God forbid he loses to OSP. He'll probably still run around with his belt. So then OSP's got an interim belt. And then you're going to have some three-way dance at SummerSlam for these guys to figure out who's the actual champ.
So co-main event, as you said, is DJ and Henry Cejudo. And what's interesting is I don't know if you saw this. And we'll get back to the bigger news of the day, but I just think this is an interesting aside. And we had a question on Facebook about this. So while we're talking about Demetrius Johnson, we'll bring this up. Tough 24 was announced this week. And Demetrius Johnson found out on Twitch that the winner of Tough 24 will be fighting him for the belt.
That seems about right in every sense of this dynamic.
Just playing some division on Xbox One, and somebody goes, "Hey, yo, DJ, what do you think about Tough 24 fighting you for the belt?" And he goes, "I don't know if you've heard the audio." He goes, "Is that a real thing? Hey, is that that's real?" So yeah, in while he was
him or the champ, like does Henry Cejada have to fight that guy? Because that would be stupid.
No, DJ. Like, you get a title shot at Tough 24 if you win Tough 24.
But that's what I'm saying. If Henry Cejada wins...
Yeah, he fights the guy from Tough 24.
Oh, see, I think that's stupid. You at least got a chance for a rematch against Demetrius Johnson.
Well, it is the UFC, so there'll be six rematches before that happens. But yes, the Tough 24 winner fights for the flyweight championship at the end of it.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse said that's kind of effed up for the current flyweights.
Yeah, well, not only for the current flyweights. How about the champ? Like, nobody told the champ?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody's got to shoot a text over to Zach Makovsky, though, when they decide
they
to do this.
Not, but I do not. I don't think, like, there's no possibility in my mind that they're not telling Daniel Cormier that the winner of Tough is going to fight him for the heavyweight championship. They're not telling Luke Rockhold. They're not telling Robbie Lawler that, like...
Look, I know that... There's some...
It's weightism. I'm telling you. There is weightism in the UFC.
I can't be that worked up over it, though. It's the flyweight division.
Because of the weightism.
You're probably going to have the most interest in whatever that contender is for people that are still watching Tough 24.
Is that to say that you're not?
No, you will need to keep me up to date on Tough 24.
Let's bring back
Wait, the whole Tough 24 is flyweights?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Let's bring back...
It's like somebody
can we bring
at
back
UFC
Joe Teague to do that thing?
Is just going, I wonder if Ken could be less interested in the Ultimate Fighter. Like, he's not watching, and if he stumbles across on YouTube, we get like 3 seconds in and he's out. Like, could we actively make him like throw his TV out into the trash? Let's put flyweights on the Ultimate Fighter.
Is that even going to get you to watch, though?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, so...
Henry Cejado's been the most interesting thing just because of his background. And I've been telling you this for a while with Henry Cejado. Out of all the flyweights, that's the one that seems to interest me the most at this point.
I still think he gets smoked in 2 rounds, but I'm with you.
Smoked, huh?
Smoked.
The American Dream getting smoked.
Yes, Dusty Rhodes gets smoked in 2 rounds.
No, Henry Cejado's the American Dream.
Oh, sorry. Dusty Rhodes is dead. So
rest in peace.
Yes.
Wow. You had to remind me.
I did have to remind you.
We were moving so well through this.
The other, I'm just trying to work in some WrestleMania talk just to cover it at some point.
Well, he's an Olympic gold medalist.
He is an
Olympic. Dusty Rhodes. Henry Cejado.
Not Dusty Rhodes.
For those of you not keeping up still.
All right. UFC 200. Some more UFC 200 news that Ken is super excited that Miesha Tate will be taking on...
Amanda Nunes.
I'm looking at Holly Holm. That's why it's lost. Nunes will get the nod at UFC 200 as Tate will defend her belt. Holly Holm's management is super angry about it.
Oh, Jesus.
They say that
I got to say, you probably go through life real freaking bitter if you just, you know, saw $10 million poof into the air as her management team. So they're probably going to be mad about anything that happens in the women's division for a while.
So here, there's two sides of the story. So in the Albuquerque Journal, that's where Holmes' team is saying, like, Miesha Tate took the easy way out. She took the easier opponent. She never gave us the opportunity. We wanted to fight at UFC 200. Essentially, how dare her? However... Story that broke this morning from Miesha Tate telling MMA Junkie that it was the UFC, not Miesha Tate, that made that decision. And Amanda Nunes was the only thing they offered her. They did not offer her a rematch with Holly Holm. They offered her a rematch with Amanda Nunes. And so I don't know when you're doing he said, she said, or she said, she said in this particular case, which side necessarily to believe. But as you bring up the $10 million, you almost think that maybe that decision is punitive.
I don't think it's necessarily punitive. Here's how I look at it. If you can take yourself out of it, which clearly Holly Holm's team can't, and neither can Miesha Tate's team. In this regard, this is a much better opportunity for Holly down the road. And I know it sucks right now, but look, there were a lot of people arguing with me on Twitter and Facebook, too, because a lot of people were upset about this. I go, why does she rematch somebody she beat handily? I know she was losing that fight. She still beat Holly Holm handily. Holly went to sleep at the end of that fight. Don't confuse the two. Winning on points and then still losing the fight handily, those are not mutually exclusive things.
No, they are not.
She lost that fight handily to Miesha Tate. So not necessarily giving her the rematch. And I know rematches are being handed out like candy. That doesn't necessarily mean you get one immediately. And in this case, I like this fight much better for a couple reasons. First, it gets on 200. It's going to be on a very big UFC card, and it adds to the card. It adds to the dynamic of this big, big pay-per-view event. You got the Conor McGregor fight. You've got Diaz on the card. You've got the championship fight for the interim belt that Conor has. Right. You've now got the women's bantamweight championship fight.
I hope they explain it like that.
That's how I want it all run down before the show. You've got a lot of interesting things that happened. You also had the contender who was on the card with Holly Holm and Miesha Tate. I said this when the card was put together. Whoever wins that fight should fight the champion, because people will have then seen them fight, and then they'll be able to fight the champion. And that was basically set up at 196 for Amanda Nunes to kind of get that win. I mean, she's only taken losses in the past couple years. I think Kat Zingano is the only person to beat her in like the last 3 years. And there was somebody on our Facebook page said, what about Kat? You know, Kat has been able to beat both of them, and why doesn't she get the shot? This is Kat's own doing. Kat took so much time off after that Ronda Rousey loss.
But I think they're doing it, to your point, I think they're doing it right.
Yes.
Kat is on the card.
Kat's back, and that's perfect.
Against Juliana Pena, and if she has a great outing, now you're building this thing, because one of the things that I have noticed, and I don't know if you're going to buy into this, but put on your tin hats, kids, because here comes conspiracy theory. It appears to me that the organization is operating as if Ronda is never coming back.
Yeah, and that's 100% what I liked about all of this dynamic, is that this dynamic looks like it said, okay, Ronda, if you're fighting, you're fighting. If you're not, we're not going to act like you're coming back. So we're going to do these fights and make these matchups. And this was the argument we had 2 weeks ago on the show. You kept telling me, Ronda's bigger, Ronda's bigger. I 100% agree with you. Problem is, we don't know if Ronda's back. Where the F is Ronda?
Well, this tells me we don't care.
That's perfect. You know what? Because Ronda doesn't get to text in, going back to work to beat somebody I already beat up.
But
might be back in November.
Would you?
Cool. If you're back in November, we'll figure out where you are in the picture then.
But you would at least agree 3 weeks ago this wasn't how the organization looked.
No,
This looks like badass matchmaking. Like, you and I right now with these matches and Holly Holm kind of out there. So you've got Miesha and Amanda Nunes. Mm-hmm. You've got Kat and Juliana Pena on this card. You've got Holly Holm out there. This feels like now we're building,
this is a division.
Up
until a couple of months ago, this is now a division. I'm sorry. I guess we should go back to Holly's win. I loved Ronda Rousey. I will watch her tomorrow if she fights tomorrow. I don't know when she's going to fight again. So what they're doing is they're putting interest in this division outside of that. And they're creating a lot of interesting things. Now you've got bad blood with Holly and Miesha, which we didn't have in that championship fight, really. They both had a lot of respect. Now Misha's accused of ducking Holly Holm, which I think is ridiculous. But you know what? That's going to add to that fight if it happens.
Well,
if there's a rematch, Holly Holm's going to make a lot more money if Miesha Tate's able to beat Amanda Nunes.
Not $10 million, but a lot more money.
Yeah, but a lot more money than if she came right back in at 200.
Totally.
For the third co-main event slot.
And then the other thing that's happening, and I know this is Pollyanna of me and a bit pie in the sky, you have Leslie Smith and Cyborg out there. Now, that's at 140, and I get it, but these are two, you know, if Leslie Smith puts on a show against Cyborg, Leslie Smith is back in discussion at 35 as somebody that you want to pay attention to. If Cyborg wins and can make the weight, now you're building this division into this thing where you've got a couple people who are really interesting that people will want to watch when they're exposed to it. I don't disagree with you that people don't know who Cyborg is.
No. That's not what I was going to say. I think what you're seeing is them, when they put all these fights together, they're also kind of, this is a message sending fight. And the gentleman that brought up the Kat Zingano option on our Facebook page, that was a great thing to bring up, because in the UFC of the past, somebody could take a long time off and go, okay, I can walk right back into a title shot. And what eventually the UFC kind of put together here is like, look, the champion's not always going to get a rematch. And look, somebody, just because you own a win over somebody else, and even their opponent, if you don't fight for us for 15 months, you can't walk into another title shot. So, I mean, you saw this happen immediately. Tate, Nunes announced. Kat's like, I got to get my ass back in the ring. I got to take a fight. She books a fight. As far as I was concerned, I didn't know if Kat was retired or not because I started digging I remember Ronda Rousey beating her. Didn't she fight after that to get something going? No, she never took another fight after that. So I think what the UFC is saying a little bit, probably to Ronda Rousey in general and to some of the other fighters, is, hey, we're going to look at everything. We're going to kind of go to this college football thing where the body of work is going to mean a lot more than if you're 10-0 against nobodies. Well, part of the body of work in MMA and in fighting is how long have you been out? How long are you waiting between these fights? You know, Holly Holm, God bless her, wanted to stay active. She took a bad loss. I don't care if you were winning on the cards. I don't care if you were pointing your way to a win. You had nothing in the fifth round, and you went to sleep. And, you know, we can have that argument all day about whether you tap, whether you go to sleep. That's not my point in saying she went to sleep. My point is that Misha manhandled her to the point that she was able to put her to sleep in the fifth round in a fight that ostensibly Holly had, quote-unquote, been winning. That's not a good look, and that's not necessarily a road right back to a rematch. This is going to be fine. This is going to be fine in the division. Holly's going to get a chance at Ronda again. Holly will get a chance at Misha again. Holly will get a chance maybe at Amanda Nunes. They're not throwing Holly Holm away here, but to assume that you're going to get right back into a championship picture after you didn't even defend the title. Again, nothing against Holly Holm. She won the title. She never even defended the title, though, and you've got somebody like Amanda Nunes in that division now who's very interested in going after that belt. I think the UFC... I love this because it seemed like the right move in so many ways. We're in the interim belt for the light heavyweight championship.
Right.
Seems like the dumb move in like seven different ways. This seems like the right move in seven different ways for this women's division. And I think it all goes back to what you said, Eric. Look, Ronda, you're welcome back anytime, but we're not going to hold the division hostage at this point anymore. There are other fighters. There are other people. There are other things we are going to promote, and there are other things we are going to do as far as matchmaking without you. Ronda comes back tomorrow. She's welcome back. I guarantee it. But again, like you said, if you want to put on the tinfoil hats, maybe she tipped them to something at this point that lets them know, hey, let's not count on that. We've got to make this division something that is extracted from the Ronda Rousey presence at this point.
Well, you have to be in a rebuilding phase, right? Because Holly Holm didn't defend the belt, to your point, and we don't know. And when you look at what Ronda's been doing, when you make the comparison, not in the same actions, but in actions in a general sense, when you make the comparison that John Jones hasn't really changed his behavior, theretofore is he really a different person, Ronda hasn't slowed down her role, so to speak, in taking out extracurricular activities as opposed to getting back in and training. So it appears overtly, I guess, that this is not a priority right now. And mm-hmm. if it's not a priority, I'm agreeing with you that I love this, that the UFC is making a statement and saying, if it's not your priority, that's totally fine. But we got shit to do. So we're going to, you know, we're booking this stuff and rebuilding this division without you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. I really like the move. I was so happy, and this kind of goes back to the John Jones thing. I'm so happy that Ronda just doesn't get to walk in and try to take her title back from somebody else because she thinks that's the easier fight. And I think that's the thing that everybody's thinking, but nobody's really been saying much. I know some people have said it. Ronda thinks Misha's an easier fight. That's why she got cute on her phone, and that's what rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, is you didn't say anything about getting back to work, going back to the cage, doing any of that crap when Holly Holm, who beat your ass up and down the cage, was the champion. And the seconds afterwards, you send out your cute little tweet. I think she thought people were going to get behind her there, or maybe she doesn't care. I don't know. But that's a bad, the optics are bad, as you would say in marketing.
The optics are very bad, and I don't know that.
Because the only time you say you want to fight is when it's the girl that you beat up three times, essentially.
And I would argue that she's a different fighter now than she was the other times that you faced her.
Yeah, you can't. Well, her persona is going to have to adjust, and it'll be interesting to see how Conor McGregor handles it, because his persona is going to, has kind of been morphing a bit. You know, he's given Diaz a lot of respect, but he wants to go back in there, do it again. Whether or not the UFC should have let him is not part of this discussion at this point. Ronda doesn't seem like she's handled any of this well. The suicide talk, the wanting to have Travis Brown's babies, thinking that would solve things.
Right.
Because when there's problems in your life, kids are the solution. Revolution. Yes, you know,
that is a T-shirt that we're going to sell on the Way of the Warrior Facebook page. Well,
you know, mentally, you got to wonder, like, where are you right now? Because nobody knows. And it's one thing to kind of have that attitude when you're the badass that nobody's ever beaten up before. And you're undefeated and you walk in the cage and you do what you want when you want. You know, you got beat up and you got beat up bad.
Bad.
And you haven't seemed to handle any of it well. You can't talk about fighting when you're promoting a fighting video game. You pretty much stayed out of the spotlight other than those extracurricular activities. So I don't know. I'm just glad that this division, because right now this division has a lot of interest in it. Is it the Ronda Rousey on SNL interest? No. But as far as fighting fans go, there's a lot of interest in this division. And if it's booked properly and you make the matchups without being held hostage, you can make a lot of money. You can headline pay-per-views. There's some of the men can't do that right now. So if you can headline pay-per-views with Miesha Tate, Holly Holm, or any of these other players, you set it up so you can do that, because that's going to make you money and that's going to garner a lot of interest.
And we'll have to see.
You're shaking your head.
Well, it's just...
What are the skeptical eyes for? Ronda Rousey?
The skeptical eyes are always for Ronda Rousey. I really feel that you have to get back in there and do that. And I think if you play around with MMA math a little bit, you beat Miesha Tate in 8 seconds in the first bout, right? Mm-hmm. And then it took you 3 rounds to do it in the second fight. So,
and you never gave her the third fight. I made a mistake there saying she beat her up 3 times earlier.
So, I mean, if we're factoring that out, and it's been, what, 5 years since the third fight? I don't know if you're looking at it right now.
Oh, I can pull it up. Yeah, I got Miesha in front of me here. Always. I have to switch the pages.
I know you do.
Not that tab. Let me switch over.
God.
It's been 3 years. It was
right.
December of 2013. So we're getting closer, yeah, to that being 3 years.
So three years ago.
And 3 years of Miesha.
Right.
We see improvement. You know, and that was the last loss. She took those back-to-back against Kat and Ronda. And then she's been on a tear. And here's the other thing I like, too. If Miesha wins and Kat wins, got another matchup right there that's going to sell. Kat has a win over her.
Yep.
I don't think Kat walks in, again, because she hasn't fought in so long, to a title shot. But Kat wins? Okay, now we can set that back up. And that'll probably piss off Holly Holm again. And Holly's going to have to take another fight. And I get it. Tensions are probably high. And I would say this is one of those rare instances where everybody with different sides of the story could probably be right. They're just misunderstanding where things were in the process. I'm sure at some point somebody talked to Holly Holm about a rematch. Like, what do you want to do? You want to do a rematch? Miesha Tate? You know, this and that. You know, we also heard that Holly turned down a fight. Was it against Cyborg?
Cyborg, yeah.
Which, again, I don't disagree with her for doing, but that's not necessarily a thing you want to be doing, is turning down fights and then expecting. I'm not saying you can't turn down a fight, but I'm not saying you turn down a fight because you're expecting this next fight is a given, which I think she might have done. And
I would add a bit of nuance and say that if you're going to turn down the Cyborg fight, which they clearly find value in, the organization,
the UFC, yes,
finds value in, and you say no, it's totally within their right to be like, that's great that you want to fight Miesha Tate, but forget about it. We see value in this other thing.
Right.
Remember when we offered you that thing?
And there might be more value later in that fight, too. And this is also something where I can see Miesha Tate said, well, she's the next best girl up. And here's the thing about Miesha Tate, you've got to remember, she was the one, other than Ronda and Kat, she had to beat the crap out of everybody in the division. So she knows a lot about who should probably get a shot and who shouldn't. And she knows that Amanda Nunes is in there, and she's done what she's supposed to do. She's fought her fights. She's one of the few people, obviously, that, you know, I don't think Misha's ever had to fight that's that high in the rankings. So, you know, as far as Miesha Tate's concerned, I'm sorry, I beat Holly Holm. I beat her. I choked her out. She went to sleep. Who's next? You know, in her mind, I can definitely see that being the fairest option out there. She's not ducking Holly Holm. She fought and beat Holly Holm. You know, Miesha Tate's going to be very, very practical in that regard, I'm guessing. There's not going to be a lot of heat that is going to drive her here. Her drive is the fact she's finally got that belt and she wants to keep that belt. But she's also going to have in the back of her mind, hey, who's next? Who deserves the shot? Who hasn't had a shot?
Well, and her perspective is different than everyone else's, right? We talked about this when she won the belt, that 6 months prior to that, she was going to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she's looking at this and going, okay, I have the opportunity, I have the leadership position to see how this division kind of shakes out and who are the people that deserve a shot versus continuing to rinse, wash, repeat mm-hmm. with the same two people. If it's Holly Holm, Miesha Tate, and Ronda Rousey doing, you know, this one versus this one versus right. this one versus this one, and everyone gets locked up. I mean, you're seeing that in other parts of the organization in divisions where it's three guys fighting for the same belt. I would argue light heavyweight is one of them, which might be why I'm so excited about the OSP fight. But for almost 3 years, it's been the same.
Well, I mean,
couple guys.
And that's the thing with this division, really. I mean, if you're going to look at the top five, the only fresh matchups there are with Amanda Nunes, who hasn't fought Miesha Tate. So we get that fight done, we get it out of the way, and then if you want to talk about Kat, if you want to talk Juliana Pena coming back again for that fight, obviously Holly and Ronda are at the top of the division as far as rankings go. That's fine. Nobody's saying those women aren't going to get another title shot. What they're saying is, hey, you know who hasn't had a shot and who's fought her way to that position? Amanda Nunes. And she was right there on the card when she won the belt. So, boom, there's your fight. I mean, we did that over and over again with Ronda. They kept putting women on the same card with Ronda. They would win. They'd be able to fight Ronda Rousey. Yep. And in this instance, this is not unfair. This is not ducking by any means. I mean, I just some of the talk has been ridiculous. I get it. There's a lot of people that want to see a quote-unquote rematch. But you don't always get that. You know, and that fight, too, and some people will disagree with me, that fight showed me more than the Conor McGregor Jose Aldo fight did.
Sure.
I mean, I saw her lose in the fifth round after she was winning the fight, but not able to put the fight away. Not able to do anything to put the fight away after winning for, some people are saying, four rounds, however you wanted to score that.
Yeah, parse that out. You beat another human being up for 20 minutes but couldn't finish it, and she comes back and beats you.
Right.
You learn a lot in 25 minutes when that's what happens.
And that's what we saw in that fight. So, again, this isn't ducking. This is making 200 better.
Yep.
And that's plain and simple. Making 200 better. You can argue for a couple of other ladies there. I think your best argument is for Amanda Nunes.
Well, and let's...
I think they made the matchup that they were...
They made
you know,
the,
you
yes.
have the fight so you can see where people land. And a man who won her fight on the card. Okay, cool. You know what? You're going to get the title shot.
Well, and I think, you know, we talked about the story about UFC 100 before, where they didn't really think that was going to be a big deal until fans started going, UFC 100! And then they made it into a big deal. But it was kind of a jumping off point. It was a seminal moment for Dan Henderson, who cracks Michael Bisping, right? He was known for that knockout for a long time.
Still is.
Still,
you
yeah.
still see that thing.
Brock Lesnar, obviously. There was a lot of things on that. You had that great fight with GSP on that card. A lot of fun things. It's actually, the whole card is streaming on Fight Pass right now as in a premium slot if you want to. And I say that because their search blows. So when they have stuff that's in the premium slot that you want to watch, it's easier to find that way. You can watch the whole card right now. Why I bring that up is because UFC 200 appears to be not a carbon copy, but an opportunity for new things to shift the way the organization moves going forward.
The consequences for Velasquez Brown, that's huge in and of itself.
That's huge.
And you want to put on your tinfoil hats. You got to assume if Travis Brown is fighting, somebody's going to be in the crowd.
Yep.
So you put the women's championship fight on 200. We figure out what's going on. You know, this isn't, I'm not saying the UFC would tell Miesha Tate to call her out and ask her if she's ever going to come back to fight again. But if I'm Miesha Tate, that's the first thing I do if I'm able to win. And I see Ronda Rousey in the crowd.
Yep.
Say, hey, I'm willing to fight you any day if you want to come back and do this. Because that's going to put Ronda on the spot. And there's a lot of fun things happening at 200 now. And, you know, you're going to pay your $59 and you're going to feel like you got your money's worth. I'm trying not to jinx it, but man, I feel like it would be really hard for this card not to seem like it's a value after you watch it. So, you know, we're making 200 into something that could be very interesting. A lot of dynamics here. A lot of jumping off points is kind of like, I think, what you're saying there as far as where we could go with a lot of different things. And we'll see how it pushes into the end of the year, because that's kind of where we are. And of course, they're going to want to do some big things with New York as well.
And the other big news this week is, of course, Tony Ferguson out of his fight against Khabib Nurmagomedov. with an injury that he says might have actually saved his life, which I think is an interesting way to tell the story.
It's like when you're in a car accident and they do an X-ray and find a brain tumor.
Yeah, he had fluid and blood in his lungs, so he is had to pull, obviously, because that's super dangerous, but was discovered and, as he said, saved his life. So he is not fighting. Khabib Nurmagomedov is still on the card. Like I said, he's fighting a newcomer who is, even though I said it earlier, his name is totally escaping me.
Does he have a Wikipedia page?
I actually don't know.
Does the bear have a Wikipedia page?
The bear, I'm sure, has a Wikipedia page. But I'm glad that this fight, that Nurmagomedov is still fighting. I will say, however, that Donald Cerrone going back and forth with Nurmagomedov was way more interesting to me.
No, that was 100% more interesting. That's why I was surprised when you told me who he was fighting. Did you find the name yet?
It's Daryl Horsher.
Okay, all right. So he's fighting Horshack and...
He does have a Wikipedia page. His nickname is The Saint.
Okay. What's his record?
His record is an astounding 13-1.
That's nice. That's a nice record.
He's fought 3 times in Bellator. He lost once in Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, he's fought in a whole bunch of things that you have never heard of.
Okay. Hey, that's fine. Everybody gets a chance.
Last fight, October 31st, 2015 in Atlantic City, New Jersey, where he defended his CFFC lightweight championship.
So this is champion versus bear fighter.
This is champion versus Russian is what this is.
Yes.
So look for that to happen. Now, look.
I do have a favorite comment because I put the news up, and that kind of sucks for the local audience here. Put up Tony Ferguson was out. My buddy Tom Lambert chimed in, said, I wrestled Ferguson in practice in high school. Same year in weight class, but different division. He was better.
Yes. So, you know, what's interesting about this fight, had it gone on, is, you know, Ferguson is absolutely on fire right now. Nurmagomedov has been off for a long, 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 long time. And I think without the layoff, Nurmagomedov is a guy that it's hard to bet against him. And I think for his sake, having a relative newcomer come in is good because it gives him a tune-up fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love at some point to see Ferguson and Nurmagomedov in the future if the cards align and that happens.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Oh, yeah, I want to see it. We got to see
the
what's
reason
going on
that,
here.
You know, look, the reason that you didn't get Donald
Cerrone. What's Tony's prognosis?
I don't know. I think they're going to get the blood and fluid out of his lungs and then.
Well, they can't just take that out. He's got to, like, it's got to be coughed
yes,
out. And
you know better than
it's
anybody,
a tough one.
Right? Yeah, so they're going to wait for that to happen and he'll.
Because you think they could just put a tube in there, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, so.
If you ask the doctor, they'll say no. That's why I went to doctor school.
That's why. Yes, doctor school.
Doctor school.
So here's the thing with the Donald Cerrone. While it's an interesting fight, he is headlining a card against Patrick Cote. So if he gets injured or something happens, we're not in a year where the injury gods are shining on the UFC in the proper direction. So I don't necessarily fault them for not being like, yeah, it's a great idea. Let's totally do that. Because
mm-hmm.
The rest of our cards have been exploding. Like firecrackers. So that's why you didn't get that. Okay, this weekend on Sunday, you will get UFC Fight Night 86 from Croatia as Ben Rothwell fights.
Oh, that's right. We have a card to preview.
Fights JDS.
For those of you still with us in the podcast.
Derek Lewis and Gabe Gonzaga are the two most interesting fights on this card.
This is the 2 p.m. Sunday card, right?
Correct.
This will be interesting because all my bitching about the times on some of the late cards. I'm looking at Sunday. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make that Sunday afternoon card.
That's funny.
Can we just put the damn card on at like 7 o'clock at night, like a football game or something?
So,
especially if it's a Sunday.
You've got two interesting heavyweight matches here in that JDS has never been the same guy since he fought Cain Velasquez. And he's taken an inordinate amount of damage and has had really not a great year. And I think Ben Rothwell is on a tear. I think he's on a 5-fight win streak. I'm not looking at it right now, but I think it's a 5-fight win streak. And I very much see Ben Rothwell being the guy that can best JDS in this fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's coming off 4 wins, and obviously the last was a big one against Josh Barnett.
Yes.
JDS, man, we're kind of waiting for that JDS to reemerge, and you're telling me it's not going to happen.
Do you see? I mean, I just think those fights changed him. I think his chin is not the same, and it appears to me that Rothwell is the hungrier of the two fighters, and Dos Santos is not.
Is this the fight, though, if Dos Santos wins, we get to see Cain Dos Santos 5?
God,
I've been waiting for Cain Dos Santos 5, just so you can, head can explode.
I don't even think I could handle it. I don't even know if I would watch that, actually.
You would watch it.
I would not watch
it. You
that.
Would watch it.
I don't think I would watch it.
I'd put you in a room like in Clockwork Orange.
And make me watch it?
And put those little metal things in your eyes, and you got to watch.
Derek Lewis.
Just to see what happens.
And Gabe Gonzaga, another fun one. I like Derek Lewis in this one. But again,
for those of you listening, I just want to tell you that Eric just kind of put his hand out like,
well, look, I mean, when you see these cars and they're on at 2 o'clock on a Sunday, I mean, what do you expect?
I don't expect anymore.
You're going to see a lot of guys that you haven't heard of, guys on the local scene that are making it on the card. And then two kind of what you would call
feature
fights.
Former UFC heavyweight champion on the card there underneath.
Two of them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was talking about, not in that fight. There's not two of them.
There's not.
It's Gabe.
Yes.
Gabe had the how long did he have the belt?
Wasn't long, right?
Did he have the belt? I thought he had the belt against, then lost it to Couture. Was that it? Or Silva? I don't remember. I'm looking it up, and I can't even find it at this point. I keep scrolling. Good luck, bro. Let's see.
Good luck, bro.
Let's see. There we go. Oh, he lost against Randy. He had a chance, though. He had a chance.
So, yes. So
That was like 10 years ago at this point.
One heavyweight champion and one guy who had a chance at one point against Randy Couture and didn't capitalize on it. So that's what you have this weekend. As always, you can keep up with all of the results on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show.
Those were some dark days in the division, weren't they?
Whew. I
just assume every terrible UFC fighter from that era had a month run or something.
The further you go back, for the love of God, Gan McGee was the champ at one point.
Maybe I'm confusing Gabe Gonzaga with Gan McGee. Like, they have kind of the same flow. Gan McGee,
how dare
Gabe
you?
Gonzaga.
How
Gan,
how
Gabe,
dare.
Gabe, Gan.
How dare you? Okay, all right.
Did Gan McGee really have a title run?
Yeah, he lost it to Tim Sylvia.
Good Lord.
Gan McGee had the title.
So now I'm mad that anybody who fought then didn't have a heavyweight title run.
They had no chance.
Like, is that a thing, Gan McGee? Damn.
I won't be able to tell you when that was, but...
I'm Wikipedia right now. Oh, okay. No, he lost to Tim Sylvia.
He didn't have the belt?
No, but that's when Tim popped for roids. That's what you're thinking of.
Well, I knew he was in a title fight.
Dark days, man. Dark days in that UFC heavyweight division. We just assume everybody had a terrible title run after Pedro Rizzo left.
Yes. All right. So at WOW Show on Twitter and Facebook,
I'm
going
to go through the UFC heavyweight title history because I think like all these dudes had a championship run that was just terrible.
We'll have Ken do that next week. He'll do a 3-minute recap of the entire UFC heavyweight championship history.
Watch it not be as bad as we remember.
All right. We'll do it next week.
I doubt that's going to happen.
It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.